subject today is talking about being God's people. We've been working through the book of Hebrews. That's what we do. We work through books. And I'm going to do a little catch-up with you, just so if you're first time, haven't been here, you'll know where we came from and how we got here. But being God's people, I mean, I would pray that one of the things we would all hope to have and to be is I want to be God's person. You can call me pastor, call me Presbyterian, call me, but I want to be God's person. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that's going to matter. At the end of the day, that's the only thing that's going to make a real difference in what we are. So how do we become God's people? Well, it's only through Jesus Christ. And that's what the book of Hebrews has laid out for us in so many different ways. We basically learn that Jesus is our high priest, that he has given the absolute perfect sacrifice, and he stands in the most perfect temple of all temples. That's the kingdom of God, and he's actually in the very center, the throne of God. We see that in Revelation. Here he's called our mediator. He's called the veil of the temple between us and God, making atonement for us, making it possible for us to be close to God. We're invited to come to God with confidence because of the work that Jesus has done. And then he gets to our lives. He warns us not to sin willfully. And that's in Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. Don't give yourself over to sin, but live a life of faith. And you have that great chapter 11, which defines faith for us. It shows us all the people of the Old Testament, how they lived their lives according to a faithful life by decisions they made. Their faith wasn't just something they said. It wasn't something that they just talked about or hoped was true. They actually lived their lives because they were God's people, and you could see it by what they did in their life. So we're warned, to live that life of faith and to live like they did. And then we're supposed to be living a life moving towards God and towards his kingdom. We understand that we have to grow. One of the things we all need to know is, wherever I am, I'm not there yet. I'm not a finished product. I still need grace. I still need God's help. And I sometimes need discipline. Sometimes God has to really shape us up. Sometimes he has to put us through things to help us to grow closer and stronger to him. So we understand that need. And we receive discipline, is where we ended up last week, as God, our Father's loving action toward us. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to make us children. And the point was, if you don't have discipline, if God hasn't disciplined you, you're not his child. So all of us who are walking with God, we've all been disciplined. And that brings us up to where we are, where he's going to talk to us about, again, this is corporate all the time. It's always corporate. It's not just me. In other words, it's not just an I thing or you thing individually. It's a we thing, an us thing. That's what all Scripture in the New Testament is written that way, plurally, not to the individual. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right as the oldest son. Afterward, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could not bring about the change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. There's three things that I see that God calls us to here. We are first called to become strong spiritually. Second, we're called to be holy, an ancient command from God. Be holy, for I am holy. Third, we are called to work and be aware of the community of God. We're talking about the idea of spiritual strength. We just worshiped God. For me, that is one of the great strengthening powers that God has given us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We praise God. We lift up our heart. We lift up our soul. We receive grace from the Holy Spirit. We talked about prayer on Wednesday night. We're going through a series on prayer. And the idea of praying and singing at the same time. I cannot tell you how many times in worship God has spoken to me or helped me to understand something that I really needed to understand as a pastor, as a man of God, or just as a person trying to be God's person. But to hear and speak to the Lord, that's spiritual exercise. The Word of God, listening to the Word, putting it into our mind, putting it into our heart by reading or by hearing the Word of God, so that we become stronger and more aware of what God wants, so we become more physically or spiritually strong. Just like you work out physically to get strong, He calls us to work out spiritually to be strong, right? So the second part is He says, be holy, because if you're not holy, you can't see God or be with God. Psalm 24 asks, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in His holy place? And we'll see in a minute, we'll talk about the idea of being without holiness and trying to stand before God. Can you imagine how horrifying that would be? How hard it would be to be in God's holy, powerful presence, and you're not holy. That would be hard. So we're supposed to seek holiness. Now, holiness sometimes gets brought up to this level of, I've got to change water to wine and walk on water or do miracles or something like that. Then I'm holy. But holy simply means to live by the Word of God, to live by God's standards and not the standards of the world. I don't let the standards of the world dictate how I look at things. I let God dictate how I look at things. And my mind and my heart are formed by His work, not by the work of the world. So to be holy simply means to be different. One of the problems we have sometimes in Christianity today is the church is so much trying to be like the world that they're losing sight of holiness. And if you're not holy, you cannot stand before God. Our job should be, we're trying to help people to be holy. We're trying to help people to be different, not to fit in with the world, but to be God's people so we can indeed stand with Him. So again, first, spiritually strong, be holy. One of the things about that was, brought this up in Sunday school today, is it doesn't mean we're at war with sinners, but we're at war with sin, right? And I just an example, you drive down the freeway, you get sinned against, don't you? People cut you off, people speed, whipping in and out of traffic. And sin is in every part of our world. Our world is filled with sinners, filled with people that are not thinking about you or thinking about others or thinking about anything but themselves. And that can make you want to have war with them. No, we're at war with sin. And you know where that begins? Right here. It's got to be here first. And when I see myself messing up, when I see myself saying the wrong thing or having the wrong reaction, I need God, help me to be better. Help me to be holy. Help me to be more like You, Lord. So, called to be holy. And then the idea of making sure that no one misses the grace of God. One of the things, for our congregation, I just want you to think of this. When we got some really close friendships here, some of us, and we got to be careful that we're not just content with that. That when we see the stranger walk in, or when we see someone who might not know God, when we see someone who doesn't know us, do we talk to them? Do we reach out to them? Do we try to include them, or do we make them feel like they're an outsider? So that when the grace of God is working among us, well, but not for me because I don't belong. That's a real important part for us. Make sure no one misses out on the grace of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of priests that He's been making and wants to make is about a community that watches out for each other. And that also includes people we don't know. I mean, the ones we know, we can pray for them, we can remember them when we're praying, but the ones we don't, it's like I really get on myself sometimes because I don't know everybody's name even. And that makes me feel bad. I really want to know people's names. I really want to know not only that, but how can I pray for you? How can I be there for you? That's part of it. So if you look at this, these are three things that he calls the church to be. The aware of community is about sharing grace. It's about forgiving one another. Okay. to be gracious to one another means the way I want God to forgive me, that's how I should forgive you, right? We've talked about it many times. Maintaining morality, we don't let sin slide in our lives or in the lives of others. We see somebody doing something that's absolutely sinful or wrong outside of the world, we must confront that. We must say something. We don't just let them go. We don't let someone just go on their way and not get the help they need. And then godliness, instead of talking about Esau, who was so short-sighted, he gave up basically a role in the kingdom of God for a bowl of soup, for one meal. It's in the book of Genesis. And his brother got the blessing because he said, give me your birthright for a bowl of soup, and he did it. That showed that he wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about the kingdom. He wasn't thinking about anything except for, I'm hungry right now. Don't ever want to set aside the kingdom of God for temporary gains. We don't want to do that. We want to always be open to God, willing to obey God, to serve God, to honor God, right? So these three things that we're aware of, spiritual strength, holiness, and caring for the community. And that is what God has been doing. In Exodus 19, right before Sinai, he says, I want to make you a kingdom of priests, a people of God. And so this author now is going to compare the experience of Moses and that people meeting with God without Jesus. Let's think of that. That's not a very nice thing, right? And he says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. And I just, as I was looking at this, and we're going to see in a minute, the difference between meeting God with Christ and this, meeting God without Christ. You think about the Mount Sinai. It was literally on fire at the top. There was thunder and peals, and the voice of God came out so powerful, so loud, it absolutely made people's hearts melt. The sounds were horrifying. The fire and lightning was horrifying. And the people trembled. And they finally begged Moses, Moses, you go talk to God. If we hear it, we will die. That's how people will meet God without Christ. It'll be a terrifying event. It'll be a horrible event. And that's not how we, who are God's people in Christ. Everything that we've talked about in the book of Hebrews is all about how Christ has made a superior way. He's a superior sacrifice. He's a superior high priest. He is a superior Savior in every way. And he has brought us to God in a whole different realm. So we're not at Mount Sinai in fear, in trembling, and with death waiting for us if we do anything out of line. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of angels. Of Abel. I love the heavenly picture in Revelation of the worship of God. God and the Lamb at the center, the seven fires of the Holy Spirit in front of them, all of creation worshiping God, and millions of angels gathered around and praising and lifting up praise to God. And then added to that picture later is the picture of the saints of God gathered in with the angels and gathered among the elders and gathered all together with all creation, lifting up and praising Almighty God for the great things that He has done. He is still a mighty God. He is still an awesome, and we'll see it, he says, he's a fire, a consuming fire. He still is a terror to anyone that does not have Jesus Christ in their life. But to those of us who know Him, to those of us who call Him our Savior, that He is my mediator, that his blood atoned for my sins, that he made it possible for me not just to see God, but to be with God and to be close to God and to be called a child of God and to worship God in that beautiful picture of the heavenly realm. That's our church. That's our mountain. It's Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, where God on his throne and the angels and the saints all gather together to praise and worship God as he should be praised and as he should be worshiped. That's through Jesus Christ. Quite a different feel when when we worship the Lord and we feel the peace of the Holy Spirit, all the troubles of the world out there, all the troubles in your mind, your heart, when you stand in front of God and you're worshiping God with his people, all that just kind of goes away. You start to realize what's really real and what's really important. And all the stuff, the anxieties and trouble of this present evil age just kind of disappear. When we realize that God is not waiting to smash me, to condemn me, to burn me as I might have deserved, but he's calling me his son. He's given me the spirit of adoption, which tells me that I belong to him, that I am his, which reminds me that Jesus did die for my sins, that Jesus did give himself for me, that Jesus is indeed the greater sacrifice, the perfect high priest, the perfect mediator between me and God. And he brings us together into that heavenly realm of worship, not trembling in fear, often sometimes weeping as we realize what God's done and who he is and how much he's given so that he could love us and we could love him. Awesome, awesome God. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape who refused him who warned them on earth, how much less we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Just simply, the commands and the law was all due to punishment if you didn't keep it. The author has warned them over and over. He says, focus on Jesus. Pay attention to Jesus. Learn about Jesus. Build your knowledge about Jesus all through. Don't fall into sin. Don't willfully sin. Just warning them, trying to keep them on path, trying to keep them with Christ and not going to the right or not going to the left, but staying with Jesus. And he's saying that here again. And he talks about, the Lord saying, one time his voice shook the earth, but now he says, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. When I am in Christ, when Christ is in me, when I am his child, when I am part of that kingdom of priests, I become unshakable. Unshakable. Because all the mighty power of Christ and God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and all that he has done for us is at work in my life, and I am his. And though the whole heavens and the whole earth be shaken and rolled up like a scroll, those who belong to Christ will remain unshakable. The words, again, indicate that created things will be shaken so that what cannot be shaken may remain. That's us. That's where I want to be. That's how I want to meet God, an unshakable child. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. God has not changed. God has not changed. But how we get to be with him has changed dramatically through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We want to build ourselves spiritually strong. We want to become more and more holy as we live our lives. We want to build the community of God. And we want to become unshakable, his people. That we will be able to stand with a consuming fire God as our Father. As our Father. Amen.